Come on, everybody, come on! It's your season! too proud. But my mother is still with me every day. I keep alive in my heart. So everyone that has that mother alive, you should cherish your mother. I tell people all the time, I don't care how old you get, your mother is still your mother. And if it wasn't for your mother, guess what? None of us would be here. And I'm talking about your birth mother. We thank God for birth mothers. We thank God for a wife. That's her way. She definitely is pressing. We thank God for all of you. Can we all say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. The praise team just sang the song, "It's Your Season to Be Blessed." How many believe you're in your season? Well, how about that? Now listen, you got to speak by faith what you want God to do. How many believe you're in your season? I don't know about you, but this is my season to be blessed. Amen. I look for God to send blessings. And it doesn't have to be financially. Lord, if you keep my body healed, that's a blessing. Amen. I went to the dentist on Thursday. Got two teeth pulled. Oral surgery. Had to have two teeth extracted. Amen. It's my season to be blessed. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so the doctor asked me the first time, he said, "Are you allergic to anything?" I said, "No, sir, I'm not allergic to anything." So he kept asking me, "Was I allergic to anything?" I said, "By the way, doctor, I'm allergic to something." He said, "What?" I said, "Doctors, nurses, and dentists." I said, "So you asked, you must figure I'm allergic to something." But nevertheless, God is good. But his name was, I know his last name was Shane, but he was good because he took two teeth out. I was mainly, you know, he prescribed me the hydrocodone and the other dome and this dome and that dome that you don't need. Amen. So I went to the pharmacist to get it. I said, "No, you can keep that. I don't want nothing that can have me trying to be addicted." Right? But he took them out in such a way that I was eating the same thing.
Amen.
God is a good God. I took out, listen, not one tooth, but two teeth. Amen. And I was eating the same day. My wife said, "You are so hard-headed." So you're supposed to be on soft foods. Amen. But I don't let nobody tell me what to do. But I'll tell you something. Sometimes you better listen to what they tell you what to do. Amen. Your bishop gets on me all the time. He says, "You got to learn to listen to them because I have some problems now." And if I had listened to some of the medical people when I was younger, I wouldn't have them. So doctors do a good job. So listen to them. I am not your prototype for what to do. But then they don't get along so good. But nevertheless, we just thank God on His Mother's Day for all of you all. We thank God for Evangelist Bloomfield's testimony. And next week I'm looking forward to hearing Sister Mia's testimony. God has really blessed her in a marvelous way. But let us stand at this time. I'm not going to be long. Amen. I told my wife last night that I never had allergies until the last couple of years. But I still thank God. It's still my season to be blessed.
Amen.
I never had a little sniffling. The runny nose can make me say, "Oh." Amen. I want to thank God. Oh, I still appreciate all that He's done. Last night I told my wife, I said, "I need to call one of those elders or ministers up and have them come up tomorrow." Well, this was late last night. She said, "Well, you kind of waited a little late, didn't you?" So I'm here.
Amen.
You don't have to deal with all the congestion and nasal sound. I do my best with the help of the Lord. So my daughter had a nurse and said, "Dad, you used to be short-winded. Why are you so long-winded?" She see a little bit of a smile. I didn't know the name. Oh, both of them look at the smile. They might have both said it then. Wow, my services are only like 40, 45 minutes long. I listen to those other pastors in an hour and 15 minutes. So I would do you all like I did Deacon George. Deacon George said, always said our music was too loud, so I allowed him to go to another real church service. And Deacon George called me back and said, "That service was so loud, I couldn't stand in the church. I had to sit outside." So those of you all that think I'm long-winded, I'm going to let y'all go visit on the churches for a little bit. And you still see my long-winded is still sharp-winded in comparison. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Let us turn to Genesis, the 25th chapter. Now, I don't usually try to have a message to match the occasion, but it just so happens that this message matches the occasion. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to read from verses 21 through 28 of Genesis, the 25th chapter. And it was not intentional, Elder Gibbs. I know you were in Genesis 24 last week. This is just how God works.
Amen.
Sometimes when something is almost repetitive, I try to change. But it's so important that we're in this position. We're not in a position to do what we want to do, but we're in a position to do what God wants us to do. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So first of all, do all have it?
Amen.
First, before I do this, next Saturday, you know, look around the church. Don't the church look pretty empty this today? So we want to do our doorknob campaign. I like looking at you all. I know you all like looking at me. But don't you want to see some new people sometime? So Lord willing, next Saturday will be 11 to 11:30. Pray for another rain. But every time we try to do it, it seems like it pours. But nevertheless, for next Saturday from 11 to 11:30, we have prayer here from 11:30 to 12:30. While we will do our doorknob campaign. Actually, all the tests is almost passed out. 500 of them in this area by itself. And they've been very diligent. The whole stack, I mean, the whole package, maybe close to 1,000, he's already passed out. But we just want to show God we want to be faithful, amen?
Amen.
He that winneth souls is what?
Wise.
Advised to be as wise as a serpent, yet as harmless as a dove. Verse 21 reads, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her womb. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two men of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was threescore years old when she bare them. And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, and a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Lord, we bless your name. We thank you for these mothers. Lord, we thank you for those that have their mothers alive. We ask you today, oh God, give them a mind to honor, to respect their mothers. Lord, and we ask you today to send a word that you might strengthen our hearts. Lord, send a word that you might increase our faith. Lord, we ask you in the mighty name of Jesus to let your anointing so rest, rule, and abide in this place. Lord, send a word that you can heal our broken yesterdays. Lord, send a word that you can heal our broken todays. Lord, send a word that will reach into our future to heal our brokenness. Now we acknowledge at this time that without you we can do nothing. But your word declares that they that know their God shall be strong and shall do extra. Now, Lord, show yourself strong in our behalf. And for this, we thank you in the church in
Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'm going to go short, quicker than normal. So our message is going to come out of this 28th verse. And it reads, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. So the scripture gives us a reason why Isaac loved Jacob, because of the venison. But it simply says, Rebekah loved Jacob. So our message today is unconditional love. A mother's love is most like God's love. Unconditional love. A mother's love is most like God's love. Amen. So when we read the scripture, we see that Isaac loved Esau, but it was because of what he got from Esau. But when we reach the point where it says that Rebekah loved Jacob, there's no conditions. Rebekah loved Jacob unconditionally. Amen. No matter what, she loved Jacob. But the scripture says that Jacob was a plain man. He was dwelling in a tent. And if you do a word study of that issue, it says that Jacob liked spending time in the tent, praying, reading, and talking to God. So I believe that's a good reason to love. But even if he didn't do it, she still loved Jacob. So my thing is, and I think men, we don't have a mother's love. Amen. Y'all can say amen because y'all already know it's true. Men don't have mother's love. I don't have my wife's love. Amen. Now, I'm not saying it as a negative. I'm just saying, but we are built different. Women are built with the heart of God. If you ever study when the Bible says that Adam needed a helpmeet for him, that really means she needed someone in God's place to remind him morally of his obligation and responsibility to God. So women's job is to remind men of their obligation and responsibility to God. Can we say amen? So those wives that like to keep their wives, their men tied up and not responsible for God, you are not being a helpmeet. God has designed you, amen, to keep the moral fiber of that man, to keep the spiritual fiber of that man, so he stays in contact with and tune with God. Why do you think that the serpent went to Eve instead of to Adam? I believe, according to the scripture, and it's a whole lot that you've got to read concerning it, and I don't have time to get into today. But in the Hebrew, that word is Ezer, for helpmeet is Ezer, E-Z-E-R, Kenego, K-E-N-E-G-O. And what that actually meant was her sole responsibility was not to be above Adam, not to be below Adam, but to be by his side, to be his God conscience, to help him make God decisions. So the reason that the devil didn't go to Adam is because he had an Ezer connector. He had someone that was on his side that would have kept him in line. But a man did not have that same mindset that the woman has. How do we know? Because Adam was standing right there when the serpent was talking to Eve. So he should have intervened if he was an Ezer connector. He should have intervened if he had the mind of God that said, no, Eve, we have to do what is God. So the devil knew that if he went to Adam, then he would say, no, I'm here to keep you in line with God's plan. I'm not here as your wife to distract you, but my job is to keep you in line with God because we're connected. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So the devil went to him. But like I said, men, we're not like women. Right? My wife sometimes, when some of my kids get in trouble, I'm like, hey, you just got to leave that alone. She's like, no, I'm still their mother. Right? So men, often, we have a tendency to be harder than women.
Amen.
Right? Men like to say, well, you need to let them learn some lessons on their own. So when it comes to being a man, we have tough love. A mother has tough love, but it's unconditional.
Amen.
A mother, a son could be a murderer, but mother still loves him the same. That son could get in all kind of trouble. But a mother's love goes beyond. Amen. A child could be embarrassing, but out of nowhere a mother would step in.
Amen.
A father said, no, you need to let them learn some lessons on their own. But a mother's love is unconditional. Can we say hallelujah? Amen. Even when a child we know deserves worse, how many of our mothers have a way of turning worse into better?
Amen.
A mother can soothe the pains. A mother can soothe the trouble because a mother has unconditional love. So I said the woman is an Ezer connector. She is the conscience of God. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Well, how can a woman be so much like God? First of all, God's love suggests that it is totally committed. God's love is totally committed. Any of us ever mess up and God still loves us?
Yes.
Amen. Any of us fall short and God still loves us? Why? Because God's love is unconditional and he said, I'm committed to you.
Yes.
The scriptures say, even in God's love, if we backslide, God does not get angry at us. If we backslide, God does not give us a spiritual letter of divorcement. But the Bible says God is still married to the backslider. Why? Because God's love is an unconditional love. God's love says, I am committed. That's why marriage is supposed to reflect the love of God. Because one spouse is supposed to be, can we say, totally? Totally committed. No matter what that spouse does, you want to be committed. Because marriage represents Christ and the church. Because Christ is the bride, and the church is the bridegroom. And the scripture says there's nothing that the church can do that will make God divorce us. There's nothing that the church did that will make God turn his back on us. Why? Because he is married to the backslider. He's married to the church.
Yes.
So can we say God's love?
God's love
is unconditional.
Unconditional.
A lot of us know it's unconditional because we can look at some mess ups that we've had. And God didn't turn his back on us. We can look at some shortcomings and failures that we had, but God still loved us the same. Amen. So God's love is totally committed to us, depending on him. God's love said, I trust. When we have the love of God, we said, I completely trust you.
Yes.
And I said, a wife, a mother's love is like God's love. If a child goes to a mother and says, Mom, I did this, I did that, I messed up. You know what a mother do? She would say, that's all right. God will get you through this.
Amen.
A lot of times, if you go to a man and say, I messed up, it's what I told you before you did it. Right? Yo, come
Amen.
On, man. Yo, I'm a man. I know.
Amen.
But isn't it wonderful to know you have someone who's completely committed to you? Someone that you can trust in? Amen. That's why I often get confused. When people are in trouble, why they run to everybody else but their mother?
Yes.
Isn't that something? How do you be in trouble and you go to everybody else for advice but your mother? Well, we know that you can completely trust your mother. Your mother will never tell you anything intentionally to lead you in the wrong direction. So when we get in trouble, why do we run to everybody else and not run to our mother? Can we say hallelujah? Mothers are obligated to their children. No matter what you do, your mother is going to be there. Amen. I know my mom used to call me all the time. And my mom, I didn't know what my mom really was thinking about where I was at and what I was doing until after she passed. And we found, my brother found all these notes in her Bible. And all these notes in the Bible, she never expressed how she felt about where I was and what I was doing. But what my mother did say in her Bible, I'm going to tell you what she said. She says, Lord, one day you will deliver my son from this situation. I didn't know it then. I didn't understand it. But guess what? Her words came true. Because one day God delivered me out of that situation. My mother never told me you need to do this. But she did whatever mother should do. She went privately to God in prayer. Just like Rebecca, when the twins were struggling in the womb, she went to look to God to inquire for herself. She said, yeah, Isaac, I appreciate what you did to help me get to this position. But the struggle is real. How many know the struggle is real? Come on, how many know the struggle is real? So when Rebecca got in the struggle, she went to God for herself. She said, God, if I'm going to be and do what you say, why am I having this struggle? And God spoke to her in the struggle. Amen. I'm just so glad that I probably would have fought my mother if I knew what she was thinking. But then when I read the notes and when God finally delivered me, I can say there's nothing like a mother's love. Hallelujah. Your mama call you up and won't ask you no question and tell you everything that you're going in. Why? Because she's an ether connector.
Yes.
She's connected to God. And because she's connected to God, she'll lead you in the right direction. She'll lead you in the direction to help your moral fight. She'll lead you in the direction to bring you back to God. So I don't know where your mom is and what kind of relationship you have with your mom today. But I will encourage you, mean, friend, can you give me $100? They'll look at you and tell you, I'm short too. Amen. That's what they'll tell you, I'm short too. But a mother made that sacrifice. A mother said, yeah, I know I have this bill that's due, but I don't want to allow my child to suffer. So that mother will stand by you when others won't stand by you. That mother will be like you with you when others will let you down. When everybody else tell you what you can't be, oh Lord, I thank you. Your mother will tell you what you can be.
Yes.
When others will tell you you don't amount to anything, your mother say you can be anything you want to be. Because we're talking about, can we see, unconditional love. We're talking about the love of God that passes all understanding. So there's nothing like a mother's love. So anyone today, if you mad at your mother, be mad at yourself and get over that. Amen?
Amen.
If you mad, don't wait till she's mad in front of the church. In a position where she can't hear what you're saying. If you're mad, get over it. Hallelujah. You just call your mom and say, Mom, I thank you.
Yes.
I thank you because if it weren't for you, there would be no me. Lord, if you had, listen, you've surely seen this song, for the 9 months of the carriage.
Yes.
Growing inside of me?
No charge.
No charge. For the nights I stayed up with you, doctoring and taking care of you?
No charge.
No charge. For all the other stuff, because all my other stuff, right? And that I've done for you?
No charge.
Now, I'm going to tell you, your parents, listen up, this is how Father is. Father, you start working.
Amen.
Yeah. Come on, y'all ain't waiting. That's always the real world to realize I'm telling you the truth. You start working, your father says, huh? You put your own gas in your car. Because a father doesn't have that unconditional love that a mother had. Now, your mama, you just went out and wasted your whole paycheck, and you're going to say, Mom, I don't have no money. Well, how much do you need? You go to your father and say, I wasted my whole paycheck. He said, well, good, you'll learn a lesson. But a mother's love is most like God's love. Because even when we mess up, God's love will go beyond. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So what the scripture, can we go to 1 John the 4th chapter 4 minute? I just want to teach you God's love is most like a mother's love. Amen. I miss my talks with my mother. I would never tell my mother anything was going on, and my wife would be my witness. My wife, mother would just call me. She said, well, you know, God just put something in my heart about you, and she would be right on the money. Amen? I remember I broke my finger. It was an unfortunate situation. I broke my finger. It was in a cast. My mom called me. She said, hey, is there something wrong with your left hand? Yes, she did. She said, is there something wrong with your left hand? She said, I had a dream last night. Something wrong with your hand. Because I never told her I broke my left pinky finger. Amen. There were times we had trouble with some of our children. All right, so I'm going to use names so Amen. I can pretend the innocent.
Amen.
But one time we were really going through it. And my mom called me up. She said, listen, son, I don't care what you do. You love your child.
Amen.
This is what she told me. We can tell her anything. But what we talk, a mother's love is unconditional. So a mother will reach beyond all of your failures and shortcomings, and she'll see your own need.
Yes.
Does any of us feel like we've been in some of those situations? Mm-hmm. You go to your father, I work hard every day. Mm-hmm. I brought you up. I brought you through school, I did this, I did that, and you get your own thing. Isn't this a commercial on TV? It's kind of humorous. It's a commercial. I don't watch too many of them. But there's one kid, I guess he graduates to college, has his degree, some master's, and every time his father sees him, he's on the cell phone. Y'all see the commercial? Oh, no, y'all probably did it. But yeah, so every time the father sees him, he's on the cell phone, and he looks at the mother and says, he ought to be looking for a job. So one day they sit down at dinner, and the son has a phone, and the father snatches the phone. Jesus. And he has all these resumes and appointments.
Amen.
Y'all see that question?
I think I might have.
Y'all don't pay attention, because I do. And then he looks at the child and smiles. That's a father.
Amen.
Father didn't do none of that stuff. Because a mother's love is
unconditional.
A mother's love is the most like God's love. So let us go to 1 John the 4th chapter. We're dealing with today. Isn't this a beautiful day to say Happy Mother's Day?
Amen.
I say Happy Mother's Day even though my mother isn't here.
Amen.
Because she's alive in my heart. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, growing up, my mom used to make me marry a whole lot. A whole lot. Because she was a mom. But she was trying to train me. But guess what? All the time she ever made me mad, she never knew it.
Amen.
Never knew it. My mom was 5 foot, something like this. My mom was like here. So when I was 13, I was the same size since I was 12, 11. They said I was going to be 6'5". I said, no, I'm messed up. But I was the same size. So even when I was 11 years old, I was always bigger than my mother. So if my mother told me to do something, even though I was bigger, I did it. There was one time when I was 11 years old. This is the last time my mother ever spanked me. Well, we didn't get spanked. We got real whippings. Y'all know what real whipping is? Yeah, we got a real whipping. Go outside in the field and get your own switch. And it better not break. Right? This is the real whippings. Not this 1, 2, 3 stuff. They hit them 1, 2 times. I got the real whippings. Paul said, I've got a mark on my body to this day. Those whippings did not go, whelps did not go away. I still have the marks. I was 11 years old. My mom said, boy, I'm about to give you a whipping. No, I'm thinking of my mom. I'm going to say, no, you ain't going to whip me. I'll take that switch from you. Right? I was bigger than she was. My mom said, you go in there. This is the old stuff. Y'all don't know about this. She said, you go in there, lay on the bed, and drop your pants. Like, wait a minute. I'm 11 years old now. What do you mean, go in there, lay on the bed, and drop your pants? So you know what I did? Lay on the bed, and drop my pants. Right? I was bigger than my mother, but I still never disrespected my mother. I never talked back to my mother, and I never talked back to my father, to this day. Never, never, never. If I didn't like it, what you say? Oh yeah, my father, whole different story. Mama. Yeah, my father gave us a warning. She said, you ever talk back and fight me, I'd shoot you. My mama never threatened to shoot me, so I knew my mom loved me. But I saw my father in action, so I kind of believe he would probably shoot me. Because one time we went shopping and we put all the groceries in the house and left, and he might listen to this, so I'm not going to use his name. One of our neighbors up the street came and stole all the groceries. Both the windows took all the groceries, hid them down by the creek. So they called the GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, they came in and investigated. So they said, oh, we think we found this stuff. So the GBI went there, my father went and grabbed his pistol. And he went with him. I'm so glad that the person went there. Right? Because my father wasn't just, you know, I'm going to see clouds without rain. He wasn't a cloud. What he said was rain. But nevertheless, I have his mother's story. My father was all business. But I never talked back to my mother, so she made me lay on the bed and she beat me with that switch. And she beat me, but I was too old to cry. Well, I was too big to cry. Right? So I just said, I just go, My mom said, why you never beat you again? Sounds like a big old cow. Right? You know what? I was bigger than my mom, but I always respected and loved my mother. So I never talked back. I was never disrespectful. Even when she told me what to do, if I didn't agree with it, I told my wife, when I told my wife, whether she was then my girlfriend, I said, Mom, I got a girlfriend. She said, oh, beautiful. I said, she got 4 kids. She said, not so beautiful. She said, wait a minute, son. She said, I know you love kids. She said, but you a child yourself. You're only 19 years old. She said, what are you going to do with 4 kids? But you know what? My mother loved me. She said, well, if that's what you want to do, I'll be with you. I'll stay beside you. Right? My wife didn't find out the story until a couple years ago. I didn't tell her until a couple of years ago. But what I'm saying is parents do what they do out of love. But then if you mess up and say, faith, guess what? Your mom will go back and say, I told you so. Amen? She's not going to keep doing it. And she loved, she loved all of them. Tommy, Brooke, Aaron, Sean Cole, Justin. Amen. She loved them all. I just say, I'm off track a little bit. I'm going to tell you how my mother was. My mother always saw the good in every situation. So when first we get married, Tanya was. So when Tanya got married, it was a little sticky stuff going on there. A little sticky. Which is a little sticky. Because I was a father, I was a dad, but a father was there. My parents were what kind of parents you call them? They were not their natural parents. They were there, they were there, and her father's parents were there. At this time, situations weren't like they are now, so we weren't smooth. And technically speaking, I wasn't supposed to be giving Tanya away. And I didn't. Tanya, Brooke, I'm glad. Brooke.
Yes. I thought we were pretending to sit here.
So I'm just talking about my mama. So they told Tanya, if such and such don't give you away, none of us will come to the wedding. I said, Tanya, let them give you away. You don't want to miss out on your gifts. So my mom came to the wedding, and you got some different stuff going on at that time. It wasn't like it is now. There was some different stuff going on at that time. In the middle of the wedding, my mother looks at me, she says, ooh, that Tanya is so blessed. Like, okay, mom, why is she so blessed? She said, most people only got one set of parents. She got two sets of parents.
Amen.
And most children only have one set of grandparents. She got two sets of grandparents.
Amen.
Right, so even in a negative situation, she turned it around.
Amen.
Amen. But let me finish. Let me just do, I'm going to do just a couple of verses in 1 John chapter 4. Amen. But we did that with Brooke. They said, Brooke, if such and such don't give you away, we're not coming to the wedding. I said, Brooke, let them give me away. She said, I don't care if they don't come. You're not giving me away. That's what she said.
Praise them.
Praise them. Well, Brooke weren't worried about the gifts. Tanya was worried about the gifts. Let's go to 1 John. I just want to read everything. Oh, she said, I need to read. We're talking about how mother's love most resembles God's love. Amen. So 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to turn to it so many times I'm hopeful. All right, let's go to verse 7. It said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is what?
Of God.
We ought to love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God
is love.
Verse 16 reads, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God.
Amen.
A child of God should never have hatred.
Amen.
Because that's love of God.
Amen.
A child of God should always have love. Well, Jesus said, you ought to love your enemies. Right? Pray for them that despitefully use and persecute you. Jesus said, you still have to what?
Love
him. Amen?
Amen?
So we live in a day and age where people say, well, you've done so much to me, I can't stand you. That is not God. Because God is
love.
Wait a minute. God is, wait a minute. Is that too small on scripture? Y'all want to make that bigger? God is what?
Love.
God is love. Verse 18 says this. You have some people say, well, I'm just afraid to let my love go because I'm just afraid of what this or that might do. If you do it in God's place, are you doing it in the mind of God? You don't have to worry about a thing because God will protect you.
Amen.
The scripture says, there is no fear in
love
but
perfect love.
Perfect love I'm going to sum right there. Perfect love casts out fear. Have any of you ever growing up, you were afraid of something? Now, my father was different. My mother would speak love and help us overcome our fear. My father would say, if it's a dog, take a 2x4 and you go out there anyway. My father had a different kind of way of showing love. Amen. So his love was tough love. Amen. My father told us, he said, I don't care if it's 20 people beating your brother, you better not let it get beat up. He said, you know what you do? He said, don't you, if you get beat up, you go home, you're in trouble. So if you get beat up, you take a stick and you fight until he's delivered. So it just so happened with my brother Joseph. I'm going to end this story. Last story I've told this one. We were living in Columbus, Georgia, going to Forest Road Elementary School. And we used to have to walk home through all the plum fields and corn fields and all. And my brother Joe was having an asthma attack. So it was like 6 or 7 guys that were teasing him. He was crying and he was upset. But my father told me, if I don't care how many they are, if they're messing with your brother, you better not come home. So, 6 or 7 guys, I had to go into action. Yes, I did. Because I feared my father more than them guys. I beat them 6 or 7 guys so bad. I did.
My father made me
do it. He said, don't go.
My dad made
me do it. The one of the guys went in the house and got a knife. I couldn't beat the knife. I grabbed my brother by the shoulder and we made high tail the home. But I'm saying, fathers are different. Isn't our fathers different?
Amen.
Unless you're a girl growing up, father's baby the girl, but don't be a male growing up in the father's house. He'll take you to the extremes. But God's love is amazing.
Amen.
God's love goes beyond all sin, as we all said. There's no love like a mother's and a God's love. Mother's love is unconditional. Amen. You know, a lot of people say, what are you doing for your mother today? I'm not doing nothing. Listen, you want to do everything you can to show your mother you appreciate her. If she's too far away from you to get to her, you can call up on the phone and don't say, oh, happy Mother's Day, and hang up. You call your mother for just a time with her. Amen. You want to show her that you love her and that you appreciate her. All that you went through, and I know how much my mother went through with us because we were very sick as children. I remember she was going to the hospital sometime with my brother Joe 3 or 4 times in the same day because of asthma. And I used to have tonsillitis real bad. She would go to the hospital with me 2 or 3 times that same day. Isn't it amazing how my mother would make all those sacrifices for us and then we're too busy to give them a few minutes? That is our line. That is not God. Unconditional love, a mother's love, is both like God's love and